And in success, you'll be able to go on those bigger shows where you can get bigger hits at once. The other thing I think is just a misconception. Again, I think I did mention this earlier, is social media is great for brand awareness, really hard for it to bring in actual new listeners and downloads. I do think YouTube is changing that a little bit, changing that game. So that's the other big conversation right now in podcasting.
Hi, welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Brian Maddox. With me today, Alanis is now from Heard of Media. Welcome, Alana.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So if you could give our audience a little bit of background about kind of how you got involved in marketing and what you're up to, that'd be super helpful.
Sure. So I actually started my life before podcasting in the TV space, which is really where I learned the full 360 traditional and digital media landscape and really how to reach consumers and build a product that advertisers want. I pivoted to podcasting about 4 years ago, where I led marketing at a mid-sized network called Podcast One, where really had shows that spanned various verticals from sports to reality TV to tried and true podcasters. And from there, I really realized there was a need for a greater podcast marketing presence in the media landscape, in the podcasting landscape. During the pandemic, we know podcasting really transitioned from sort of pioneering to mainstream. A lot more celebrities got into the game. It was very buzzy. So how were independent podcasters and even mid-tiered podcasters going to cut through the clutter and all the noise of the hundreds of thousands of podcasts that are produced every day? Which led me to Heard of Media, knowing that there was a need for podcast marketers, outside of a sort of structured, full-time landscape, really that consultant one-on-one hand-holding to customize the experience for the podcast producer, host, whatever it may be.
Gotcha. So when you were, in the work that you're doing now, you're helping podcasters do what?
We're helping them build an audience. So whether you have 500 listeners, 5,000 listeners, 10,000 listeners, our goal is to make some noise, like I mentioned earlier, cut through the saturated market and build a following on your podcast platforms.
Gotcha. And you have a blend of solutions for that?
We do. Yep. So you'll hear a lot of folks in the podcast marketing space and really just tried and true podcasters talk about how guesting on other podcasts and getting even promotion in front of other podcasters and swapping your inventory is sort of the laying the groundwork for building your audience. So a lot of the industry as a whole is relationships and knowing the other podcasters, knowing the other networks out there, and understanding the value of a download, a listen, an impression to be able to navigate those conversations. And truly negotiate for that basically free inventory, right? That otherwise could be going to sales. A lot of what Heard of Media does is spend time building those relationships so that when we bring in a client, we already have a, deep list of shows and folks we can go to start getting exposure for our shows. So that becomes sort of the root of how we're building our marketing plans and growing an audience. And then from there, based on, again, vertical, who the host is, what they enjoy doing, looking for sort of outside the box ways to reach potential listeners is what we do next. Obviously, social media is important, but podcast marketers will tell you is it's great for brand awareness, but won't always convert to a listener. And what we know in podcasting, your currency really is that actual listener, because we have the data to show, literally download by download what the consumption is and who you're reaching.
Gotcha. So for the folks that are listening, a lot of the folks that we work with, particularly in the podcasting space, are B2B focused podcasts. So audience isn't necessarily the initial objective. It's certainly right in the beginning. It's just cultivating sort of, you know, your brand presence, it's developing your voice and all that kind of stuff. When it comes, how do you know as a podcaster when it's time to essentially, I would say stop, because I don't think you ever really stop cultivating that. But when is it time to pivot and really start moving into that audience development?
I think when you start thinking about your content and your audio or video audio experience as a potential revenue stream. So when you're like, okay, we've done all the marketing we can with this property, because I would imagine a lot of the B2B clients, or I know a lot of B2B brands use podcast as really an extent, a marketing arm, right? An extension of their brand to another medium. I think when you realize that, A, you do have listeners that are coming back to every episode, like there is an interest in the content. And again, you've sort of reached that threshold of marketing. Maybe there is an opportunity to build to a big enough audience where you can monetize. And that actually is part of the structure of Herd of Media. So I love that you asked that question. In addition to growing audience, we also, once we get our shows to that number, and it really depends on, again, where are you? Is it, you know, self-help? Is it a brand? Is it sports? You know, whatever, what that number is. But once we get you there, it's having the conversation around, okay, who would your target advertisers be? How can we build your media kit? Who should the outreach be going to? So we really help shape the and craft the story for monetization efforts.
Gotcha. So you bring me to a kind of an interesting intersection, I think, because you say things like media kit and that immediately sounds like traditional advertising. And I just had somebody, I interviewed somebody like a couple of weeks ago that was focusing strictly in the influencer space. So how is that disrupting the conversation? And what does that look like as you kind of start to, I guess, blend those things together at some point?
I think people think about influencers really, in my, at least the way I think about it, is more in the social media world. I do think the intersection of podcasts and influencers is converging because of the rise of YouTube in the podcast world. However, an influencer is someone who's kind of, who's promoting your product, your show, your content for you. And really the reason people listen to podcasts and now watch podcasts is because they want to hear from the host. And so I you could use an influencer to help with that brand awareness piece, but unless they're the actual host of the podcast, which also does exist, marketing through them, I don't know, is going to really move the needle for you, because you're asking their followers to do a lot of work to get to the podcast. They have to follow them. Then they have to know who the host is. They have to then, are they listeners of podcasts? Because if they're not listeners of podcasts, you're asking them to create a whole new habit. So it creates an extra step. Now, if you're an influencer with loyal followers and you start a podcast, you're probably going to be a hit off the bat, because what we see with a lot of influencers is their audiences are so loyal. You know, it's when you say jump, they say how high. So yeah. They usually can. You do see adoption there from a social media influence perspective to actual listeners. So that's like the exception.
So
in my mind.
Right. And I think that's fair. I think one of the things that's coming along though, and you're starting to see it, I think, as the smaller podcasters can get more, a deeper and more compartmentalized understanding of their audience, you have the ability for them to monetize in a way that is quite a bit different, right? So if all of your podcasters fit a very tight and narrow demographic, you can monetize even with a much smaller audience, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, right. It's all about it, that's sort of the niche angle. And right. If you have something, if you, again, it goes back to, right, their followers are going to do what they say. And, you know, you see that too with tried and true podcasters who have grown their audience, like they're kind of in their own right influencers. They maybe started with a podcast and became big in that space. Advertising data shows that people traditionally will, you know, are more likely to buy from a host read ad that they hear in a podcast from a, you know, someone they follow regularly. And by follow, I mean their podcast, not their necessarily their socials or whatnot, right? They're hearing it in their ears or on the YouTube channel, like, I love this product, buy it because. So that's one of the reasons advertisers love podcasting and that sort of share of ear so much.
Gotcha. I think it starts to create some interesting dynamics because as you feather all these things together, particularly in, like, you know, most of our clients are in the B2B space, there's a place where you hit that inflection point where you stop essentially pulling so hard for audience that you can start really getting into some of the more creative aspects and developing a ton more sort of range in your voice as opposed to just in the beginning figuring that out. What are some sort of things that you have seen that are indicators that somebody is ready for that? They've hit a point where not just the inflection point where they're ready to perhaps monetize, but that they should really start kind of branching out and exploring additional techniques or broadcasting sort of opportunities. What does that look like and how do you know?
From transitioning from podcasting to the other?
I mean, with the podcast itself, right? How do you know that you have essentially got now, you've hit a point where you can start exploring some creative freedom with the way you're approaching that space? I'll give you, an example. A lot of the podcasts, and you've seen this, I'm sure, get fairly formulaic fairly quickly, right? They're expecting the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that in many ways, as a host, becomes an imprisoning kind of vibe, right? You're like, oh man, I'm stuck in this. But once you get to a listener base that's of a certain volume, you can start exploring other things and the listeners will come with you. So, you know, this is where people spin up secondary channels or tertiary channels. How do you know when you're ready for that? And what does that look like?
Honestly, your followers in whatever capacity they exist, they'll tell you, we want to hear more. We want your episodes to be longer. We want, you know, they'll ask you questions. They'll start engaging. I think, you know, the consumer now has so much access directly to the product, whether a product is content or a brand, that you just listen to them. They'll tell you what they want more of or less.
I get that. I think it'll be interesting to find out. I think when people hit that point to start to say, I remember when they used to be like this and now they're like that. With the business space, I think that a lot of folks are using seasons to try and do that as a concept. Like they're going to go, okay, well, season one, we talked about things in this way. And season two, we'll talk about them this way. But it's hard to really kind of get a sense for that. And with your exposure with so many podcasts that you're working with, I was kind of looking for some more insight there if you have any.
I think if you are considering branching out and not sure how or in what way, there's a couple ways you can sort of test it a little bit. One is you can try having different guests from different perspectives, fields, you know, spaces, and see how your audience reacts to that and if they can bring their audience with them, like if their audience is ready for that new content. You also can structure, you know, maybe it is one of these season ideas where you're structuring your episodes in two or three parts, sort of. And YouTube kind of sets you up for that, where you can chapter things and see what people tend to consume more, or create like smaller segmented episodes. And, you know, one of the things with brands that I didn't really focus on earlier, but is a strategic way to think about podcasts is, especially if you're videoing your podcast, you can break that up and use it as content across all the platforms that your brand exists on. So, you know, you can take this interview and cut it up into, you know, moments, add copy to the screen, you know, and, put it in, it shows up in people's feeds, right? And you highlight whatever you're talking about again and see what is resonating and what people are following. So that would be one way also to test your different channels. And, you know, all your audiences are a little bit different on each, on TikTok versus Instagram versus Threads and X, Twitter, you know, it's a different conversation in every place. So if you wanted to test what your sort of next move should be and where you should grow from just the audio experience, that's a great way to see where your content and what type of content you're putting out there resonates.
Gotcha. So have you, you work with podcasters to help increase that audience. When you get somebody comes in the front door and they go, yeah, I really want your assistance and their podcast is not great. What do you do then?
That's a great question. You know, I think there's a lot of best practices in terms of episode length. You know, you can also go in there and look at the data. You'll see where people stop listening. Like maybe, you know, your show is too long, or in a specific episode, you can see, oh, they dropped off here. What were you talking about? So you can kind of lead them to understanding why or why not the show might work. The challenge always is that a lot of podcasters are creatives in their own right. Right. And so sometimes you just have to try it. And when things aren't working, you know, again, you can say, poll your audience, see what they want to hear more of, ask for feedback. But yeah, it's always a slippery slope. But there have been times that we will say, you know what, I don't know that we're the right fit or that we can really grow your show. And, you know, sometimes you have to be honest, especially when you're, you know, making a business. We don't want to waste anyone's time or money if we're just not aligned.
Right. Right.
Just to be totally transparent about how we approach business.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's difficult, right? Because nobody wants to hear their baby's ugly, but there are some things that you have to say sometimes, like, yeah, I think you're probably not the host that we can help here. Or have you thought about getting a co-host? Or how are you anticipating this is going to go when your podcast is exclusively about a piece of equipment or something? Like this is an interesting sort of dynamic.
Yeah. And I think you just hit it really on the head of managing expectations. So if there isn't a way to have that conversation, like a brand or again, just podcasters, like this is my idea and we're sticking to it, then it is saying like, we can get you to here, but you know, there's no way we're getting you to Z. Right.
Yeah.
And, like we can pitch these guests, but I'm going to tell, you know, you can pay me to do that, but I can tell you right now, like they're not, just because you're a fan of theirs, they're not going to come onto the show. That's just like an out there example of what that conversation looks like. But I think also, right, like it's the same thing as when somebody, it's similar to when somebody says like, I want a podcast and you're like, okay, well, what does episode 1 look like? What does episode 5 look like? What does episode 20 look like? Because we all have a lot to say for 2 or 3 hours, but you know, down the road, what is the evolution here? You know, so I would say the same thing to someone whose podcast is very, very niche or offbeat or personal, but like in a non-relatable way, you know, or again, it's a brand, like, is this a limited series for 8 episodes and you want us to just like put marketing power behind it? Or do you think this is going to be 100 episodes? Like, what are you going to talk about after you go through your product features? Right. And like sort of map things out to understand what, you know, it's easy till it's not easy, till you run out of things to say, you know?
Yeah. I think it's an important thing to understand going in, and we've run into it a fair amount when we built strategies for B2B guys. It's like, look, you need to use this first and foremost to get in front of the right people rather than worry about audience development. I think audience development is a thing that a lot of folks get romanticized about early on. They're like, oh yeah, I want to be really popular. Or I want to be, you know, like just like Joe Rogan or whatever. And that conversation comes with a bunch of stuff that you're not ready for. and you're not equipped to have for a long time. And when I say a long time, I think the podcasting success story is measured in years, not in weeks, right?
Sure.
Or even in episode count. And a lot of folks don't quite understand that. So if your podcast isn't helping you achieve a business outcome before it blows up, then it's certainly not going to blow up anytime soon, right?
Right.
Because you're not going to stick with it. When it comes to those things, you know, you've raised some important points about like, okay, so what does episode 100 look like, or what does episode 20 look like? When it comes to the things that have made podcasts successful in your mind, the things that you see on a regular basis, that is some of these best practices you're talking about, what are like the top 3 to 5 things that people recommend, you know, that they should be doing if they're not doing them right now?
It's getting your podcast content in front of other podcast listeners. So the reason I think I mentioned this earlier, but not in this context, the reason for that is a podcast listener is always looking for more content to listen to. It's going to be harder to get somebody who doesn't listen to podcasts and doesn't already have that habit formed to suddenly decide they're going to open their Apple, their, you know, app or their Spotify app or whatever it is and listen to spoken word, right? Maybe they listen to music on Spotify, but they don't, you know, so you're asking them to change a habit. So your lowest hanging fruit is getting in the ears of other podcast listeners. The best way to do that is to guest on other podcasts or swap, do promo swaps with other podcasts. So reach out to join, but there's various podcast communities you can join, reach out to other folks with podcasts that you think probably have similar numbers as yours. Hey, I'll give you a shout out in my podcast if you give me one in yours, or here, run my 30-second promo and I'll run your 30-second promo, and just truly doing that, you know, exchange of content. Hoping that some of your listeners will jump both ways. The other thing I think is really important is to really value every single one of those swap or guest opportunities. Even if you're on a podcast that has 500 listeners, there's the chances that that's complete duplication or small. So, excuse me. So if you can bring over 10 new listeners from that show and you're guesting on one show a week, you're going to build your audience. And to your point, it is a slow build for podcast audiences. Yeah. And that's not a crazy number to bring over week to week. You know, and some weeks will be more and some may not hit at all, but you have to start with those sort of like lower expectations. And in success, you'll be able to go on those bigger shows where you can get bigger hits at once. The other thing I think is just a misconception. And again, I think I did mention this earlier, is social media is great for brand awareness, really hard for it to bring in actual new listeners and downloads. I do think YouTube is changing that a little bit, changing that game. So that's the other big conversation right now in podcasting. Do you need to have video for your podcast? And, you know, YouTube is the number two search engine out there. So for nothing else than SEO purposes and to show up in searches, you should have a presence on YouTube for your podcast. Even if you're just uploading, you know, it's just your logo with the audio running in the background and you maybe upload your transcript on the back end for SEO. You know, that's not going to give you hundreds of more listeners, but you know, if you do it right, and you don't like seeing yourself on video or whatever, right?
Right.
Then that's a good way to at least be there when someone's like, I want to podcast about kitchenwares or whatever, you know, appliances or whatever it is, you know, for your brands. And then obviously topics and, you know, but people go to Google and people go to YouTube right now. Those are the two ways people are searching, the everyday consumer are searching for content and information.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I would say is the last thing I'll leave this part with is from a, you know, the swaps and the guesting are the proven tactics. They have the highest conversion rates. But if you're in a position where you can be testing other ways to grow your audience, whether it's programmatic advertising, video or audio, I think it's definitely worth it. I've seen in some of the testing that I've gotten higher conversions than what swaps bring you, but and there's also times that it just doesn't work. But if you're in that position to test, because the medium now is just so big, the tried and true opportunities are getting smaller and a little tougher to land. So I think there's going to be a shift in the next year to 5 years to more mainstream promotion and marketing efforts in the podcasting space.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You bring up an important point, and I think it's something to be mindful of for our listeners. And that is that the even in many ways, what's defined as a podcast is now changing. Mm-hmm. Right? It's no longer just an audio that people can listen to while they go for a jog.
Right.
It's now an audio plus a video channel plus a TikTok stream plus this, that, and the other thing. And with all of those sort of silos coming down, you have to understand that you're now playing in a media landscape. It's not just that niche conversation. And in a media landscape, there's folks that have been in that a lot longer than you have, right? Out there doing this work. There are some things that even your you know experienced podcasters can learn about the way media operates to help grow and engage an audience in a meaningful way.
Yeah,
I think that's really important.
Definitely, and I think if you are a big brand producing a podcast, it's worth engaging your media teams to think about where else there might be an intersection of the audience you're trying to reach. So maybe it's, again, people who use your product or you want to use your product who also listen to podcasts or who are on YouTube. You know, I think there's intersection, you know, there's, and maybe, you know, maybe you're the face, they have a face of the brand. And so a social media campaign to promote the podcast may actually work. And it may not work today, but it may work in 6 months because also just technology and advertising opportunities and ways of advertising and spends and like, you know, podcasts going from audio to video, it's all changing so quickly. So that's another thing like to keep in mind is it didn't work 6 months ago, but the landscape is changing so rapidly that it may work, you know, in the future.
Yeah. And I think you raise an important point there too. Like the fact of the matter is when you create content like this and in this way, it continues to yield over time, right? You don't necessarily plan on episode 38 out of 700 being the most popular one,
right?
But it's going to continue to build audience for you once it's recorded and in the can and published. That process that you go through where you just need to keep creating and then going back and doing that sort of retroactive analysis to go, what content here is delivering those new listeners, I think is an important part of the conversation that the analytics aren't really quite there yet. Like when you look at YouTube, I can say, okay, well, these people, you know, this number of people watch this many seconds of footage, blah, blah, blah. With podcasting, that seems pretty elusive. Are there other sort of tools and techniques that that are out there to find or identify where that data is?
The podcast
analytics. The audience analytics. Like TV's had great analytics in time because of Nielsen and stuff like that. YouTube's got awesome analytics. Podcasting's got question marks.
It does, and I think similar to what we're seeing with advertising and even consolidation in the space, it's still getting its footing and leveling out. You know, you obviously, whatever platform your podcast is on has some of the metrics. You Spotify, if you go directly to their platform, they will give you pretty decent audience metrics. Apple, not as much. So you're absolutely right. It's really hard to find the true, you know, whether it's demographic listens, downloads, like what else is you, consumption rate, you know, it's harder to find those in a true form. You know, there's a few of the, there's, you know, Edison's doing a lot of work in the space. There's different like rankings, for various podcast networks and shows out there that are trying to figure it out. And then there's the attribution advertising companies. But yeah, there's a lot out there. I don't know that anyone's cracked that code yet. But I really think that's just because it's a newer medium and it's finding its footing. And also, there's a lot of conversation around the value of a what's the difference in the value between a listener and a download? And I think that some of the, you know, also is kind of where the conversation gets a little sticky. And until that's, you know, decided and fleshed out, we may always be in this kind of no man's land.
Yeah, yeah. Alana, I want to, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you a couple questions. First is, who should reach out to you and how can they get a hold of you if they need more information?
Anyone with a podcast that you're ready to grow or even just get out into the world and want to know different strategies can reach out. You can go to our website, herdofmedia.com. Or I'm Alana, Ilana, at herdofmedia.com. Pretty straightforward. And what was the next question?
You ready?
Sorry, was that that was the whole thing?
Yep. In the in your marketing journey so far, what are your three biggest lessons that you've learned?
Don't be afraid to test. If you have the bandwidth to do it. Be very mindful of how your paid, earned, and owned opportunities inform and play against each other. So be ready to continuously optimize and scale those to raise your profile and also your audience, not duplicate efforts in the different spaces because they do overlap a lot. And I think you don't need to be on every social platform, but finding the platform that you get the most engagement from with the audience you're targeting or knowing where your audience is really where you should be investing your time and your content and adjusting it specific to that audience.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Hey, you. Yes, you. It's 2024 and you don't have a podcast yet. Or maybe you do, but you're struggling with it. We will talk to you about that for free. We'll help you figure out where you might be stuck, whether or not we can help you for sure. But also, if you don't have one yet, what are the first five things you can do? What are some great angles that you can use to make sure that your podcast was sustainable as you start to develop that moving forward? Those consults are free. So reach out at the link below in the show notes or email me at brian@podcastchef.com. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to the show. Our website, podcastchef.com, has a ton of useful information about how to best leverage podcasting to help you solve some of your business goals and challenges. You can also schedule a demo where we can show you how specifically Podcast Chef and our team can help you with some of your podcasting goals. Thanks.